false curses are found there. But we see that Jesus took them out and nailed them to his cross. And having spoiled principality and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Saints, we have been completely empowered and vindicated by Jesus Christ. He was anointed to deliver us, to restore us, and to present us faultless before his Father, God. God, Jesus have done so much for us. We need to take it upon ourselves to do the things that he called us to do. And just go back and read those scriptures of where Jesus nailed all of our sins and all of our sicknesses and diseases. He nailed it to the cross. And he took it upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. We need to know that demons and devils and evil spirits, you know, they're real. Satan is an evil spirit. And everything we see coming in our lives is sent by Satan. And all these things are evil spirits. You know, we talk about how we're to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. So when we see things that are coming to us that we know that's not of God, if it's bad, it's not of God. If it's evil, it's not of God. So we have to realize that these are evil spirits that are being sent to us. We know that everything has spirits connected to it. We know that we have supernatural weapons to fight with. And these powerful weapons will take down the strongholds and the evil spirits. It will take them all down. And it's in the name of Jesus. Vexation, which is irritation and an annoyance, such as rebellious children, you know, rush hour traffic, being cut off in traffic, bumper traffic, where they ride up on the back of your bumper, you know, late to work, and you know you're going to get chewed out by your boss. And all of these are evil spirits. Do you think that's a good spirit when he calls you in there to chew you out and threaten to fire you? That's evil, you know. These all seem like small things, but they cause frustration. They cause you to be upset. They cause stomach problems, migraine headaches, depression, irritability, and all this put pressure on you in your life in Christ Jesus. All these things, they're sent by Satan to put pressure on you so that you can start thinking, well, you know, if God was for me, why is all this happening? I've heard people say that a lot. Well, all this stuff, all this bad stuff is happening. Why is this happening to me? You know, why is God allowing this? God allow it. He can allow it. But he's trying to see if you can be strengthened. You know, can he trust you with his word? If you're going to back down every time some hard times come, God can't trust you. So sometimes he have to send, let these evil things come to see if you're going to back down. But I tell you what, he never put no more on you than you can stand.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I just want to lift out verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Recorded are these words: "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, what I want to speak to you about is this. When God gave this word through Paul to the church at Corinth, he was dealing with a multiplicity of issues. If you look in these first 12 chapters of 1 Corinthians, you'll see Paul deals with a plethora of issues. But in chapter 12, he deals with gifts of the Holy Spirit and their operations, etc. But what he also discovered was that Christians were operating out of order, and more especially out of love. Not in love, they were operating without love. And so in trying to become superior Christians to those who did not have or function or flow in the gifts, they had established somewhat of a hierarchy and an attitude as if God only spoke to them, like they were holier than thou, like they were all of that, like the rest were not worthy of their presence or their company. And he noted their attitude, their disposition. He noticed how they treated and spoke to one another. And he talks to them about those gifts. But at the end of the 12th chapter, he is convinced that his desire is to show them a more excellent way. And so for a little while, I want to speak from the subject: what the church needs now is love. This problem that existed in Paul's day still exists in our day. And it's unfortunate that we've not learned over the years how God wants us to operate in the kingdom of God, how God wants us to utilize the gifts that he has given us to be a blessing to the body of Christ and not to lord over the people of God in the body of Christ. Not so some could have high seats while others have low seats. It's not so that some can be thought of as those who are more righteous because they are functioning in their gifts and others are trying to discover their gifts. And what we need to understand is, more than all of the gifts, Paul says you need to learn how to show love. But what you've got to realize is the gift that God has given you is for you to operate on his behalf. It's not because you are all that, but it's to help those who are not supposedly all that to become all of that because of what God has given you to help them. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the brick and mortar. I'm talking about the ecclesia.
the called out body of believers. I'm talking about the real church. I'm talking about the church that moves, the church that goes to work. I'm talking about the church that lives in your neighborhood, in your house. I'm talking about the church that goes to school with you. I'm talking about the church that's in the mall and the church everywhere you are. I'm not talking about a church building. And everywhere you go, you represent God because you are the church. The real church, the church that people see. Do you know people desire to worship in the place you worship in when they see who and how you respond to things in the world? What kind of love do you demonstrate? What kind of love do you display? And so when Paul dealt with this issue, he said, I want to show you a more excellent way. Now what this says is, if it's a more excellent way, then it means it's a better way. So I want somebody here to get this. You might not be able to speak in tongues. You might not be able to do this. You might not be able to do that. You may not be able to do anything yet in chapter 12, but if you got love, you are in the house. God sees that. God is more impressed with that. God honors that. God desires that above all of the other things. And so when Paul deals with this first verse, he says, though I speak, and what I love about Paul is he's using himself as an example. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels. Now let's pause right there, because what I want you to recognize is Paul has already said, and he's already dealt with the fact that he believed in speaking in tongue. Matter of fact, he said he spoke in tongues more than they all. He says, but in the church, he says, we got some folk operating out of order. He said, and I'd rather speak how many words in the church in a known tongue? He said, just a handful than to speak 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Why? Because what he was saying is the tongue speaking is only going to cover, in terms of those who have the gift to interpret, a handful. But when you prophesy, everybody gets to understand what you're talking about. But when you speak in tongues, that's not for you unless there is an interpreter there interpreting what you have to say to the congregation. And that was considered the least of the gift, which had become lifted and elevated to one of the higher gifts because it was personal. And folk took pride in that above all of the other gifts. And he juxtaposed them and said, wait a minute. Prophecy is more important than speaking in tongues. I'm just throwing this out to help you understand. When you recognize that that personal gift, that intimate gift is for you, especially when you are seeking a one-on-one with God, whether that's in a special place, whether that's in your prayer closet, whether that's your time by yourself, but it ain't for the church. So keep that in mind. He's saying, I want to teach you a more excellent way. Now, what I think is most important, because what we miss is that everything about God is wrapped up in his love. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When you begin to recognize all of the love that Jesus talks about, leaving a new commandment with you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It's all about love, and we miss it. trying to be big eyes. We miss it. Trying to be important to the wrong people. We miss it. Trying to act like we're all of that when love lifted me. Not my degrees, not my reputation, not my gifts and not my abilities, but love lifted me. And I got news for you. It lifted you also. And you got to recognize the source that God Himself shares with us in the continual operation of the church. We are His called out body of believers. And there should be some signs. And there ought to be, if it ain't nowhere else, in the church. There ought not be no talking about one another. If I've done something and it's hurt your feelings, you ought to come to me as a brother or sister and say, "Brother Pastor, you hurt my feelings because such and such." Don't get behind my back and talk about me. If your brother or your sister, listen, hurts your feelings or offend you or do you wrong, you go to them, nip it in the bud, because you don't want this thing to get out of hand and grow. You don't want them to get on Facebook, and you don't want them texting and tweeting and telling everybody else but who they ought to be telling what the problem is, so you can work it out. You see, we ought not be like the world. We ought to come to one another and say, "This is the issue I have. I could be wrong, but I thought I'd talk to you about it." And if y'all can't work it out together, you get somebody else in the church who's more mature and who holds a position, who can render a decision between you and tell the story to them. And if they won't listen to them, you get a handful more of them. And listen, if that don't work out, then the Bible says you need to excommunicate them, because one bad apple can spoil the whole bunch. Listen at this now. He says, "I speak with the tongues of men and of angels," which means I have the ability to speak, interpret, have conversation with, and receive revelation from angels, and to be able to share that is going to happen, that is revelatory with men. I have the innate ability to talk in two worlds, men and angels. Listen at this now. He says, "But if I don't have charity," and this word charity is a broad word. It doesn't just mean alms or giving, as part of the chapters before suggests. This means love. This means agape love, the God kind of love. So in this 13th chapter, everywhere you see charity, that word means love, God's love, or the God kind of love. So he says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love," listen to what he says, "I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now listen to this, because what's interesting about this is Paul has a message he's trying to get over. What he's literally saying is there are some churches that have a ministry of sound, not to be mistaken for a sound ministry. Somebody catch it on your way back home. I said, some have a ministry of sound. whole lot of talk, a whole lot of stuff that's hype, a whole lot of stuff that sounds good, a whole lot of air, a whole lot of words, but no real substance. It is not a sound ministry. It is a ministry of sound. And when you have churches and people in those churches coming up with all of these cliches and all of these sweet sounding things that sound good to us but have no biblical substance to it, that's what he's talking about when he's talking about they have a ministry of sound. A ministry of sound. Listen, that sound is simply that is tickling to the ear. Paul warns Timothy about those who would gather up teachers having itching ears. You'll be surprised how many folk don't want no sound doctrine. You'll be surprised how many churches don't want to hear what thus said the Lord. But the moment you put a little sound to it, y'all, they start waking up there. And I don't know. And everybody start, why? Because there's a little sound. I never forget when I was in my first church and I discovered the power of the solid word. And I knew, because I was in the cane fields and the country areas and everything, and I had, Johnny, you remember, I had a horn then. Y'all remember when I first came, I had a horn. Had a sweet tone and a beautiful moan.
Still got it.
And I discovered that folk, listen, wanted to hear my sound. But God started dealing with me concerning his word. And I never forget when I began in Louisville teaching the word and ministering the word, how the atmosphere changed. People started learning, but also what it did was it caused those who had a ministry of sound to go to sleep or show up late or wake up when they heard, any of that. But what I also discovered was the more sound the word became, listen, because at a certain point, you can't celebrate what you can't understand. And I got tired of putting on a show, sweating out all my clothes, doing acrobatics and flipping and turning and running up the aisles and all of that kind of stuff and pulling on my ear. And, Watch him. I got tired of putting on a show and wanted to give them what God gave me. But then when I got through, guess what they said? Reverend, that was a nice little lesson you taught today. Because I didn't put no sweet moan and no beautiful tone with it. And I had to help them understand what makes you think that you're going to grow any more than where you are now if you don't have any sound doctrine, any substance, stuff to hold on to when you're going through a storm, things that will keep you when you get weak, stuff that will remind you that God's got this thing fixed. If all you got is a sweet moan and a beautiful tone. And so I noticed my membership started going down a little bit. Because this is what they say, Pastor, you preach too hard. You ain't got to preach that hard. So I stopped. And when they say preaching hard, they talking about hooping, you know. So I stopped. Then I find out when I met him in the store somewhere, well, what happened? Well, you don't preach like you used to preach, Pastor. You used to shout us down. Now you just talk to us. And I said, well, if you listen to the talk, and if you listen long enough, you'll have something to shout about. And it wasn't until I made up my mind that I was not going to shout until they could shout with me. And I'm here to tell you, from that time forward, it turned my ministry around, and we burst open at the seams because God honors His word. Same reality happens everywhere. God honors His word. I've seen many, many, many a ministry with one thing or the next thing, etc. And that's all right. God may have given them that. He didn't give that to me. So I don't do what they do because that's what they say God said. All I know is what thus said the Lord. And if you can't hold on to what's real, you're going to discover that when you deal with anything less, it won't get the job done. So here he says, as I bring this first verse to a close, this is what he says. He says, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Two of the noisiest instruments that must be played within their tunes and within their place and at the right time to sound right. I know it seemed like a cymbal is an easy thing to play, but I know Dr. Jass can tell you it ain't as easy as it sounds or looks. You've got to have a whole lot more than just clash, 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 clash. There's a reason, and it makes a whole lot of noise, but there's a difference between noise and music. And so many of us, my brothers and sisters, we are just making noise. No substance, nothing real, just making noise. And you wonder why God does not hear, answer, nor show up in your situation. You've got to know how to access God's presence. You've got to know how to seek God's presence. You've got to know how to meditate and feed on God's word and let God enter into you and give you the revelation of knowledge and understanding about what He's saying. Listen, God has already planned your future. Why would you not spend time with Him who's already authorized and organized what your tomorrow is going to be like? Why wouldn't you get close to the one who loves you and purposed your life to be a blessed life and to give you an expected end? Why would you not spend time trying to understand what it is He wants you to do, what it is He wants you to have, and when He wants you to operate in the gifts He's given to you? But we're caught up in all of the hype. Our poor young people, so twisted and messed up with a whole lot of the stuff in the world and the stuff that the church permits from the world. Let me tell you something. I was at a church and you know they got this thing called the mannequin freeze or whatever, right? And everybody at one point or another they said something and everybody what kind of foolishness is this kind of stuff you bring? See, this is the kind of pagan stuff the kind of stuff in the world you bring in the church and you introduce to our children and you make them think all of that kind of stuff is okay in the house. We serve a holy God, a righteous God. There is a desire for us to know Him